I'm Mike and Scott. This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. This story is part of our episode, Science at Work. There's a lot of research on the importance of employment for people with mental illnesses. Having a job means having structure. It can be meaningful. It makes people feel less isolated. But keeping a job when you're struggling with severe depression or anxiety is a whole other story. Should you be honest about what's going on? How do you take time off for therapy? Will your boss be understanding? In a recent survey by the American Psychological Association, most people said their employers don't offer enough resources to support mental health needs. But that culture may be changing. Alana Gordon reports.
For as long as she can remember, Madeline Parker has always been anxious, even as a kid. But by college, she wasn't sure she'd survive.
I have multiple school notebooks that have half-finished suicide notes in them.
Wow.
I'm a little bit shocked that I made it through.
Along the way, she was diagnosed with severe depression, but she did graduate with a computer science degree from Michigan State in 2013. And right after that, she landed a job at this software company, Olark. It has an office in Ann Arbor.
It gave me new life. I was so happy to have this job. I was so happy to feel valued right away.
Things were great, but then they weren't. Her depression meds stopped working. Madeline started calling in sick. She kept the specifics of why a secret.
I mean, this isn't something that you normally talk about at work. And the way that it presents makes me look like either I'm lazy or I don't care or I'm bad at my job. And so I was putting all of this pressure on myself, and it absolutely crushed me.
After a lot of back and forth, Madeline decided to tell her supervisor what was really going on. The response floored her.
He said, "I wonder who else feels like this. We should make sure that they know that it's okay to take care of themselves and to take time off for this."
What was it like to hear that?
I was absolutely blown away because I was prepared for you might be fired.
Word got up to the CEO, Ben Congleton. We called him up in San Francisco.
Hi, this is Ben.
Hi, Ben. It's Madeline.
Hi, Madeline.
I don't know. I just feel for Madeline. I feel for what you were going through, like feeling this guilt and this anxiety. It just sort of pains me to think about people working at places where they feel like they have to hide an aspect of who they are.
Ben says the reality is mental illness is common. He views it as no different than when a worker has a physical health condition like the flu or diabetes.
And I think part of the reason mental health feels like something that's different from the flu is because we haven't really talked about it a lot.
But Ben's response isn't just about being a good guy. Dr. Arthur Evans, head of the American Psychological Association, says research has found that creating a work environment that supports people who have mental illnesses is actually good for business.
Employers who have initiatives that recognize that their employees' well-being is important tend to have much better employee outcomes, like job satisfaction, ability to do their job well.
And he says this isn't necessarily a huge resource lift. It's about changing the culture.
What it really requires is the support of senior management.
He says bosses who recognize workplace stressors and help reduce them, like by allowing more flexible time off or telecommuting, tend to have more productive employees. But for a lot of people, that's just not a reality. It certainly wasn't for Destiny Campanella.
None of my supervisors or bosses or anybody was ever understanding of my mental illness. They just believed in, I guess, tough love, you want to call it, pushing me.
Destiny's 27 and lives in Philadelphia. She has severe depression and PTSD from an abusive relationship. She works as an advocate now for people with mental illnesses. But before that, she had jobs at a restaurant, a daycare, places that tend to have fewer worker benefits. And she says she really struggled to get accommodations for things like therapy appointments.
I felt so misunderstood. They made me feel worse. I thought, am I ever going to be able to hold down a job?
Destiny says she barely made it through, but she also learned some important lessons, like that self-care is not selfish. She found creative ways to make time for herself.
Some days I would even lock myself in that bathroom and just say, I need a moment.
But there are protections that are supposed to be in place for employees.
People can request what's called a reasonable accommodation.
Alyssa Schatz is policy director at the Mental Health Partnership in Philadelphia. She worries that mental health discrimination is still an issue and that a lot of people may not be aware of protections like the Family Medical Leave Act, or that legally they have the right to request certain things on the job.
So if you're taking a medication that's making you feel drowsier, you might be able to flex your schedule to come in at a later time.
As for Madeline in Michigan, she still has a lot of ups and downs that bleed into work. Her depression and anxiety haven't magically gone away.
God, just last week, I was in the middle of a meeting and I was getting close to having a panic attack.
But
I was able to excuse myself and say, hey, I am feeling really anxious. I need to go for a walk. And no one batted an eye. And that's huge.
And then earlier this summer, when things got real rough, she sent this email.
So I said, hey, team, I'm taking today and tomorrow to focus on my mental health. Hopefully I'll be back next week refreshed and back to 100%. Thanks, Madeline.
To her surprise, she got this response from Ben, the CEO.
Hey, Madeline, I just wanted to personally thank you for sending emails like this. Every time you do, I use it as a reminder of the importance of using sick days for mental health. I can't believe this is not standard practice in all organizations. You're an example to us all and help cut through the stigma so that we can bring our whole selves to work.
And then I thought that was pretty special.
Now, if like me, you're feeling a little overwhelmed right now with warm, fuzzy feelings, consider yourself warned, because the story does not stop there. Madeline had already started being more open about managing her illness at work. She even presented at tech conferences on the topic. And this email exchange really moved her. She decided to take to social media. She shared a screenshot of the email exchange in a tweet to her, 300 or so followers. It appears to have struck a nerve. What kind of response did you get? Like a few dozen?
I mean, I'm still getting notifications about this. Right now, I have 550 replies, 16,400 retweets, and 45,300 likes.
Wow.
I really was not expecting anything like this.
Both say never underestimate the power of just one exchange, of just one voice of a worker or boss, and helping open up a much bigger conversation. For The Pulse, I'm Alana Gordon.